You are listening to CFRO Community Radio Station on 102.7 FM. The upcoming show, Conscious Living Radio, is a program that explores frontiers of consciousness, spirituality, personal growth, emerging paradigms in psychology, health, science, and innovative philosophies that reflect commitment to the advancement of individual, social, and global transformation.
Good evening, listeners of Co-op Radio Station. You're on 102.7 FM. You're listening to Conscious Living Radio. And today's hosts of today's shows are Andrew Resmer and
Judith Bradley.
Judith, you just came back from a trip, an interesting trip, I heard, and you met an amazing person.
I did. I met Ruth Mendelson, and I was in Raleigh, North Carolina, for the 10-year anniversary of the One Human Family Gospel Choir. And Ruth, apart from all of her many other accomplishments, is an awesome bass player. And she was playing bass for this CD and recording and performance. Mm-hmm. And she told me the story of the work that she was doing, of trying to send well wishes and heartfelt thoughts to the children of Iraq, not just the children, but to all of Iraqis. And it really touched me. And the thing that really grabbed my attention was how she couldn't let go of this idea. The idea had her, and right. She felt compelled to follow through, despite great difficulties to herself, as you'll hear in the program. Mm-hmm. But things worked out. And there's just something so beautiful and synchronous about that, that I thought it was well worth recording.
Yes. Well, can you tell a little bit more about the story?
Yes, well, Ruth, first of all, I'll tell you a little bit about Ruth. Ruth is both a Grammy-listed composer and multi-instrumentalist, and has been composing award-winning scores for film and multiple TV channels, including Discovery Channel, PBS, CBS, for about 18 years. So she's got a lot of experience in film. She's the only woman in the history of Berklee College of Music in Boston to teach in the film scoring department, and she still works there part-time up until this current day. She's also a guest lecturer, a producer, a music director, arranger, and an author. She's performed at the United Nations in Geneva, Switzerland, with the One Human Family Gospel Choir, and is currently collaborating with the renowned primatologist Dr. Jane Goodall on a variety of youth empowerment projects. Her deepest commitment is to be of service, encourage youth, and help to bring love, compassion, and positive change to society via the arts. She's also the founder and creative director of Eagle Vision Initiatives, which is a non-profit arts organization dedicated to serving society through a broad spectrum of innovative, compassion-based programs.
Well, perfect. Thank you very much. So I think we can just go straight to playing the interview that you had done with her during your trip there.
Yes, although before we do, I'd like to just add a little bit of new information.
Okay.
Because I heard from her recently, and as you'll hear in the interview, there have been a lot of offshoots from one of them is that they're able to airlift children from Iraq out for surgery. They're going to India for surgery, for surgery that they can't get in Iraq. And last month in July, there was a 50-month little boy flown out to India for heart surgery. And she's also she's been invited to Japan, and she'll be meeting with delegates from Rwanda as well. So there's many, many offshoots from this program that she couldn't have envisaged when she did it.
Even when she was recording this interview, there's still news coming up after that.
Yes.
And I'm sure we will put on our website a link to her website, so people who are interested to find out more, to use the links that are on consciouslivingradio.org. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So, Ruth, I'm delighted to have the chance to talk to you about your project. It sounds really, really exciting.
It's incredible, actually, and a total demonstration of the power of just simple kindness.
Yes. So, before we actually go into the project itself, tell me a little bit about you, because you seem to me to be a really interesting person from what I've seen so far. I know you're an awesome bass player.
Thank you.
And you're of mixed race.
Yes.
I think, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I'm a basic medley, you know, my variety pack.
Yeah.
There's Cherokee, Seneca, Iroquois, and Russian.
Wow.
So a whole hodgepodge of just different influences and
yes.
and different teachings.
Yes, yeah. That's fabulous. It brings a real richness. And I think you're actively engaged in the First Nations tradition still, aren't you?
Yes, very much so, yeah. Which is really about going within and, yeah. and you know, discovering that inner friendship and how that is alive in every living thing, especially on the earth,
yeah.
the plants, the trees, everything in nature, that, yeah. that friendship, and to be attuned to that, you know, recognize the beauty in everything and how that resonates in human hearts
yeah.
everywhere.
Yes.
And that's a lot of what really inspired this project,
yeah.
is the reality of the connection of everything in the world that is, you know, consistently more and more troubled, which is also according to a divine clock. I mean, this isn't a surprise. I mean, ever since I was very young, I was told that there were going to be very difficult times ahead.
Mm-hmm. Many traditions have that, don't they?
Many.
Talking about the Kali Yuga. Or
exactly, yeah. exactly. So, you know, ta-da, here we are.
Yeah.
Or approaching it anyway.
Yes.
And so it's, okay, well, and that makes sense. And we're all born here at this time for a reason, mm-hmm. which I personally feel is to bring our talents forth to be of service to others. Mm-hmm. So it's a real, it's very much of a gift and a privilege to be born on earth at this time, mm-hmm. when at a time where there's so much transition happening.
Yeah.
And again, it's not a surprise. I mean, this is all many, many traditions all over the world, like you said, been pointing to this time.
Yes. Yeah. And the gifts that you bring forth, tell us a little bit about that, because this project came to you, I think, as something that had to be done, and you
yeah.
were the vehicle to do that.
Well, it was very much a divine answer to a human question. Mm-hmm. The question being, how can I use my talents to be of service in a way that is addressing a very difficult situation without coming from the level of that situation, but really coming from just a place of just pure love? Mm-hmm. And in this instance, what was happening is somebody who is a citizen of the United States, who I was feeling absolutely overwhelmed, like many people in the U.S., of what the government was doing. And at the time, especially as the war was approaching in Iraq, I don't really know anyone in the U.S. who was in favor of it. So, you know, how it was depicted in terms of everybody being in favor, I don't know how that one happened. But as somebody who was in that situation, and there are children over there, in when the shock and awe, all of that, was on television. This project is not political, I have to say right off the bat. This is addressing a situation that does involve the activities of some governments, but this is not at all a political project. Mm-hmm. This is a humanitarian project. There are children in the country that is inflicting the harm, and there are children in the country that's being harmed. And what it results in is that everybody is harmed. Mm-hmm. And these children are innocent of this. Children are going to inherit the successes and the mistakes of what we do as adults. Mm-hmm. So what can we as adults do to help them?
Very good. And let's give the listeners just a little thumbnail sketch of what you actually did, and then we can flesh it out and hear all the background.
Okay. Well, at a professional level, I'm a musician, and I'm a composer. I score films for a living, which I love. Mm-hmm. And I'm also a sound editor. And so I was thinking, how can I use my talents to bring in some light into this situation that's just so dark? And the answer that came was create a CD of just travel all over the country and interview kids of all the real diverse populations of who we really are in this country. And from ages 3 to 19 years old, and just interview these kids about life, what's important to them, and is there anything that they would want to say to their counterparts in Iraq. Now, the intention of the CD always has been universal, not just from one country to another, but given the immediacy of the situation, mm-hmm. and the wounds that were being created or exacerbated through the situation of what was happening with the war. It was to try to nip that in the bud in terms of what this could mean for future generations that who are now young,
mm-hmm.
especially. So
what happened? You went around.
So I went around. Right. So what happened was everything was done in reverse. I knew intuitively that this project had to be created, and I also knew intuitively that it had to be done very, very quickly. I had no funding. I knew no one in Iraq. I knew nothing about Iraq, really, and I had no clue as to how it was going to get to Iraq. Mm-hmm. So I was in the perfect position to start. So I began, clueless. And basically what happened was I just put out emails. The internet is a remarkable tool. Mm-hmm. And so I put out some emails to friends who sent that email out to friends. And in 3 weeks, it became a national project. And basically what the email that I sent out had to do with was just children everywhere need love. Mm-hmm. Heart-to-heart communication always help situations, and without it, situations always get worse. I mean, you can point to any period of time anywhere in history, and that's true. It's a universal truth. Communication is critical. Mm-hmm. And part of communication is speaking, and part of communication is really listening. So my job as an interviewer was just to hold the space of safety for kids to really feel comfortable to just really speak what was important to them. So that was my role in it. And so what I did was I sent out these emails and then just got tons of emails back from people all over the U.S. It's like, and this was not through institutions by any means. These were just individuals. Youth Centers was the biggest organization in Montessori schools. But it was mostly individuals who just, families, who had kids who really wanted to say something. It was very, very, I was really moved, especially the kids that were like from about 5 to 10. It meant so much to them. They just really wanted to say something, specifically to kids in Iraq. These kids were so in tune. Yeah. I was really surprised, actually. You know, and you can hear on the CD, like there are just one little kid, you know, talking with a lisp, like this. I mean, and, you know, can barely even pronounce her R's, and she's, you know, I want to be friends with the people in Iraq, you know, and just like these big saucer eyes, you know. But kids were very, very engaged. And so what happened was I just started I took a year off. I didn't know how this was going to work, but it translated into me taking a year off from freelance work and just traveling wherever I got a response to go. Mm-hmm. And then teens got really involved, and so teens in different parts of the country started doing interviews of their own and then sending me just MP3s through the internet or whatnot. And so it was really a whole community effort. The thing that was very, at first very encouraging, but after a while really troubling to me, was that everywhere I went, and I went from South Central LA all the way to New York City and everywhere in between. So, I mean, that's a whole wide 3,000-mile range. Yeah, in the U.S., we say miles. You guys can translate that for me, sorry. But but everywhere I went, people were saying, thank God somebody's doing something. Mm-hmm. Which at first, I was really heartened by that, but after a while, it was really disconcerting because, you know, town after town, face after face, people saying the same thing. It's just like, what is happening? Why are we not, you know, who's waiting for somebody to do something? We shouldn't be waiting for somebody else to do something. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's something in our hearts, it's for us to take action on that. Not necessarily as an activist, because I don't regard myself as anything like that, but as a divine directive. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you have love in your heart, it's part of the privilege of being blessed with that awareness in the first place is to share it. You know, I mean, it's not like love is a verb.
Yeah.
You know.
I was very touched when you first told me about this project to hear you saying that, you know, this idea came and it had to be done.
Yes.
And I think that's a really, you know, different way of looking at things that I think is very impactful and very real.
Right.
Because it's different than having an idea about doing something. In a way, you were listening to it.
Yes.
Listening to something telling you it needed to be done.
Have to. Well, my spiritual life is dedicated to that receptivity.
Yeah.
And keeping, hopefully, my perceptual field clear so that when I'm inspired to do something, I recognize that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's available to all of us. I mean, I think that's really what spiritual practices are about, to just keep, you know, keep our inner environment clean and clear so that whatever there is for us to do in life, we know what it is,
yeah.
or at least trust the hunches that we get.
Very good. Yeah. Now, so you made the CD.
So I made the CD.
You had to think about how do I get this to Iraq? Now,
right.
That in
well,
itself
the whole,
is a big...
The whole time I had no idea how it was going to... It was really, speaking as a producer, the whole production was just backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just kept going, knowing that somehow, one way or another, it was going to have to get over there because it was just so necessary. And the CD itself, I had 72 gigs of interviews and somehow had to reduce that down to 23 minutes of material.
Yeah.
Because the other part is it's also, I had to translate it into Arabic because these guys speak Arabic over there and it had to be Iraqi Arabic. So I started to learn. Life just brought me everything I needed at the time that I needed it for the production. I started meeting Iraqi Americans who taught me about their culture, how things are gone about over there, and it helped me have a sense as to how to even edit the CD together so that it would communicate things properly.
Mm-hmm.
So the editing process was actually, the interviewing and the editing process was very, very fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, working with the kids was amazing. Most of the teens, each interview, I mean, each kid has like this little slice of a spot on the CD because I tried to include as many as I could. But most of the interviews, especially with the teens, lasted at least an hour because the premise for me as an interviewer was not, I never once thought about, oh, this is, I want to get a good soundbite here. You know, I want to get a good quote. It wasn't about that at all. It was, do these kids feel empowered? Do they feel like they were heard? That was the intention. It wasn't only supposed to be empowering or a blessing for the kids in Iraq. It was equally intended to be a blessing and empowering for the kids who were a part of the project. It was that was very, very important.
Yeah.
And so as a result, once the kids started talking, they really, like many teens, just cried during their interviews,
mm-hmm.
which was a very powerful statement to me in terms of how are we listening to one another? Cross-generationally, if that's even a word, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, are we really hearing one another and holding that space for one another, just being present to one another, really?
Wonderful.
So eventually, yes, the CD was made, and I was contacted by an organization called Peaceful Tomorrows. There's actually a boy who I interviewed who, Peaceful Tomorrows is an organization that it's a very gentle group of people. It's a global coalition of families that have all been affected by violence, terrorism, etc. And their whole premise is to return hate with love.
Mm-hmm.
They're a beautiful organization of people. I had never heard of them before, but I interviewed this one little boy he had lost an uncle in one of the planes in 9/11. He's actually on the CD. He makes an incredible comment about stereotypes, his definition of stereotypes, or, you know, what he feels that means. It's really insightful. But his mother was a member of Peaceful Tomorrows.
Mm-hmm.
And so she contacted the head person in New York about the project. He checked out the website, because I was posting clips as I was recording. And so it was just a huge relief when I got this email from this man saying, you know, this is an amazing project. Do you need help getting over there? And it was like, ding, yes, I do. And so they had long-standing relationships with some teachers in Baghdad. And so ultimately, that's how the CD got there.
Yeah. That in itself is quite miraculous, isn't it?
That
you could take something made in America and distribute it in Iraq.
Well, and this
quite
is some,
astonishing.
Yes, it's something for, hopefully, for the viewers. I would love for the viewers out there to really get that I was told by, I'm in media, so, you know, I was told by all my media contacts who are substantial, this is impossible. This is impossible. You cannot, as an American civilian, get anything to an Iraqi civilian at this stage. I was making this CD in 2006, and it was done at the end of that year. And things were still very, very intense.
Yeah.
Not that they're not now, but in a different kind of way.
There was a lot of fear.
Tons of fear, suspicion, hatred, revenge. I mean, there was just, it was very, very, in the U.S. it was a very, very, very difficult, very fearful time. Everybody was afraid of terrorism, and it's like people's hearts were just shut down. You know, not everybody, you know, but there was a tremendous amount of fear in the country, and it was a difficult, difficult time, and it was a very challenging time to make a CD of this nature. Yeah. So, but again, in my heart, I knew it had to be done. If something has to be done, then the means for it will be provided. Yeah. One thing I didn't mention is that, you know, there was no official funding at all for this project. But people they brought me into their homes, and hotel owners gave me rooms for free when I told them what I was doing. There was just a tremendous amount of just grassroots people support. Yeah. But once the CD was made, I was told point blank by people who in the media would know these things. I was like, no, this is absolutely, it's impossible. It's impossible. You're going to have to wait. And everything in my intuition, though, was saying, no, you have to do this now. And the Iraqi Americans the people I was meeting, they were all saying, if you're going to do something like this, you've got to do it now. So it was a big confirmation of my intuition in a way. And again, I just want to reiterate, this is not political. Mm-hmm. Because I'm referring to events that can easily be interpreted as political. Mm-hmm. But this is all about nothing but sharing love. Mm-hmm. But in a zany Kali Yuga kind of world, you know, that's not as, you know, it's not as easy as common sense would hope
it
to be.
It's open to lots of misinterpretation, and people's fears will attach to what you're doing, and they'll translate it differently.
Right.
I can really see how it could... It could look very different through different sets of eyes.
Right, exactly. So what happened was it made it into... Okay, the CD was up for a Grammy in the United States under Best Spoken Word Album for Children in 2007. Mm-hmm. The same day that I found out... There's so many amazing synchronicities with this project. The same day I found out it did not make it to the final voting process for the Grammys, 3 hours after that I found out it made it into Baghdad for the first time.
What a wonderful thing.
Incredible.
So what was that like for you when you
found out? Oh, it was a miracle. It was just a miracle. I mean, it was amazing. When everybody tells you something's impossible, it's almost worth being told things are impossible. Mm-hmm. When you can relish how possible it is when it's actually demonstrated.
Yes.
The sky could have parted, angels could have come. I mean, it was really amazing. It was just pure joy.
Yeah.
But what was far more incredible was once I started hearing back from Iraqi youth.
I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah. I started getting emails back from youth medical students, actually, in Baghdad, who were all saying, we had no idea anyone anywhere cared about us. And it just confirmed everything in terms of the necessity of this project. Everybody everywhere we all need to know that we're loved. Yeah. And especially in a war zone, what I've learned about that, which I personally have not experienced, so I can kind of imagine, not what it's really, really like. But what I've heard from people anyway is that the isolation is just unbelievable. The human isolation. Mm-hmm. And so for these messages of just love and understanding and offerings of friendship, and to have that be so well received and truly received for the intention of what the project is about, which is really, we do care about you. Mm-hmm. To have that be received for what it is, it was just amazing. But what's happening now, there are so many offshoots that the CD has created around the globe. First of all, and in Iraq, what's starting to happen is a pipeline for children who are very, very sick. The hospitals in Iraq are just horrible. I mean, just really, really poorly equipped. The people there are doing what they can. And I know this from my young doctor, pen pals in Iraq, who I've had now we've been writing back and forth for almost 2 years now. But what's happened is the first, through those connections, which are through the CD, the first little 2-year-old is being flown to India for treatment. Mm-hmm. And I think his visa just went through last week.
And how did that come about, through this project?
Well, there are two there are two young doctors who I'm emailing with very consistently. And honestly, I don't know if it's okay to mention their names or not.
Don't.
So I'm not going to. Okay. Yeah. Just okay. That's taken care of. So a real friendship, you know, we've just been sharing culture, comparing, you know, what these are youth. So you can just be very real. Like, what do you enjoy doing? You know, if there, like, really kind of acting as if there wasn't a war, like, what do you like? What kind of music do you like? Do you dance? Like, what do you like to do? And just getting to know you know, and sharing differences in cultures. And I have to say that these young doctors that I've been emailing with are incredible visionaries, even with everything that they've been through. Their hopes for humanity as a whole are so pure. They're remarkable human beings over there. So anyway, one of them wrote an article. She graduated from medical school. These two young doctors were both in medical school when they first contacted me. And then they graduated, and then they were out in the field. And I was getting emails about what they were seeing, what they were experiencing. It just absolutely, really difficult things no human being should ever have to really endure. And so one of these young doctors wrote an article about this little girl and what it was like to try to treat her. She had a congenital heart disease. And the use of English in the article was more like slang. And so I said to this young doctor, I said, you know, if you want, we can just kind of comb through this and I can tell you how things would maybe be said in a more of a formal way in English that might help with publication, because she wanted to see if I felt I could help her get the article published. So anyway, so in the course of just sharing language over the, I think we were working on this for 2 or 3 weeks, of course the child died. Because there were no facilities, or they had suction cups for every ailment a human being could have. Suction cups, that's it. That's what just kind of got me in a personal level a little more involved with just the plight of the children over there who are sick. And then this young doctor asked me, are there any agencies that receive children from developing countries? Because we can't treat them here. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I started to investigate what's possible for these kids. Doctors Without Borders pulled out of Iraq in 2004, so they're out. I mean, these people are really just kind of left there. And, you know, people are afraid to go in, and help from the U.S. is very complicated because of the absolutely volatile distrust of what's happening there now. And so then I got a response, though, from the head cardiologist at this hospital called Ames in Cochin, India. And so that's now created this pipeline to get these little infants out from India to, or out from Iraq, into India for surgery and treatment.
That's amazing.
And that's just through the CD.
Yeah.
And indirect.
Yes.
But
through your friendship with the doctors and then networking for them.
And right. And the trust that was created through the CD.
Yeah. Wow, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I think the CD has gone on to other countries, and there's other countries wanting them now.
Yeah, it's been huge in Kenya, and that was an incredible surprise. There's no way I could have possibly have foreseen that. So what happened was, there was a young man in Nairobi who read about the CD online, contacted me, because the whole premise with the CD is that it's been sold in the United States and to be just sent as gifts overseas. And so he read about that, and he said, would you send me a couple of CDs? I would love to check it out. And so I did, and he just was able to grasp the universality of the CD immediately. This was about 3 weeks before the uprisings all started a couple of months ago. I don't remember the exact dates, but when there was that whole really awful neighbor against neighbor. So I was getting progressively more and more panicked emails from him. Said, send us CDs. We don't have any voices like this. Because in the CD, there's a big emphasis on friendship, forgiveness. You know, the kids are just being very real. And they haven't, like, grown away from themselves. So they're just very pure. So anyway, I sent several hundred CDs then to Kenya. and including we started hosting email drives for friendship cards, homemade art, just artwork from kids and adults all over the U.S. So I was just getting avalanches of mail, of artwork cards, and so I just stuffed them all in with the CDs. And the responses for me personally have just been absolutely overwhelmingly beautiful. I got one email from a woman who said that she had the intention of avenging the death of some of her tribesmen in the latest ethnic cleansing. She herself is now homeless. And that after listening to the CD, she changed her mind and decided to pray for peace.
Instead of revenge.
Mm-hmm. And this is all through the love, the power, the innocence of children.
So with the CD, tell me a little bit about how it's set up. There's different parts to the CD, I think.
Well, yeah. A lot of it is, most of it is actually spoken word, but there are musical interludes serving as segues, introductions, etc. And all of the music was done by the kids themselves. So for the little kid track, there are three English tracks, as I had mentioned. And there's one of little kids basically up to 10 years old, and then there's a teen track, and then there's a wrap-up section track. The little kid track, there's a little piano interlude with a song. The piano was played by a 10-year-old named Katie, who wrote a piano piece for the kids in Iraq. So I went to her piano lesson, just dropped the mic at the piano, and she played her little piece, and it was just so sweet. Then I was at, a few weeks after that, I was at a Montessori school, and the kids wrote a little song for the kids in Iraq during their recess. And they all circled around me. It was the sweetest thing. About 25 kids made a circle around me. And I just dropped the mic, and they looked up and just sang their hearts out this little beautiful refrain. And the words were just very simply, peace is beautiful, peace is good, peace is beautiful, peace is love. Mm. And I superimposed that over the piano piece. It worked perfectly. Same key, everything. Same key, same tempo.
That's remarkable.
That would be all of this, everything around this project. Just, you know, there was a real divine thread that was just being woven throughout the entire thing. It was just amazing. Mm-hmm. Just amazing. So on-site recordings of the gospel that you hear in South Central LA was recorded on-site when kids were recording. The native medicine songs were when I was in New Mexico recording kids in the Cochiti Pueblo, New Mexico. The different raps from kids in different inner cities, you know, whole menageries, just beautiful.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and the music is all of their own. That's really important to emphasize. This is just completely their expression.
Wonderful.
I think this is perfect time of the interview to actually hear some of the kids' voices from the CD, Well Wishes and Blessings.
I'm Taylor, and I'm 6 and a half. We made this song for the children in Iraq.
Yeah, what I picture when I play this song is like a fish swimming in the ocean.
I care about the people in Iraq, even though I've never been there, never lived there.
Peace is good. Peace is beautiful.
Peace is love.
Peace is good. Peace is beautiful.
Peace is love.
It's like this. Children might listen to adults, and adults might not listen to other adults, but adults might listen to children. So if we children say it and not the adults, hopefully people will start making peace in the world and stop making war in the world.
How do you feel for the people in Iraq?
I feel bad that there's war for you guys, and I wish there's peace coming soon.
I didn't want this to happen.
I would like to tell them that I pray for them a lot. I pray that they're happy, that there is no war anymore, that they feel good, that they have friends.
Us little children are trying to make it better, and I want you guys to know that you are still, that you're loved all around the world.
You guys, we're sad that you guys are getting hurt.
It makes me feel upset.
I hope your parents are okay.
Peace is good. Peace is beautiful.
Nothing can stop love.
It could stop wars. It could stop a lot of things.
everyone in the world is different, but they're still in common with one thing.
The way people make it seem like we're enemies when we're really not.
The thing in common is that they all have a nice side to them. Even for people that you don't even know in the world, you can still care for everyone.
Hi, my name is Cody. I'm 11 years old. I really don't like war, and when I hear about one, my stomach flips, and it's a really bad feeling.
I like to see a world when everybody is together. Peace is love.
Loka ha, samasta ha, sukino bhavantu. Loka ha, samasta ha, sukino bhavantu.
I am Vishnu, and I am 8 years old.
My name is Vikas Shiva, and I'm 10 years old.
Lokaha samastaha sukhino bhavatu means all the beings on earth be in peace.
Why?
Is there any point of this?
If you want to be friends with somebody, you greet them.
You go up to them and say, hello, may I please be your friend?
If we fought with our friends, we would never get these friends. Everyone has differences. That doesn't mean they should fight against each other. Like, Vishnu and I are different in many billion ways. But we're still brothers. Peace, everyone can cooperate together and have fun instead of death. The adults should basically make peace, like Gandhi.
My name is Sophie, and I'm 7 years old.
I want to be friends with the children in Iraq. I don't want them to feel lonely.
Peace is good.
Building friendship, sharing our worth.
My name is Ari, and I'm 10 years old. I just want everybody to know that my uncle died in 9/11, and I still think that not everybody's like bad just because a few people were.
Stereotypes are things that are rumors that aren't like, that might not be true at all, or are only true for some people.
Take my hand, let's circle the earth with peace, peace, peace.
I want to be friends with kids in Iraq because I don't want them to feel like they're the only people who want peace.
Everybody loves you.
I hope we can hear back from you, because it would be really nice to know how you're feeling.
We should throw away all those weapons and stuff.
Peace is good. Peace is beautiful.
Peace is love.
I think that no one should fight for a very, very long time. Forever.
You're tuned to 102.7 FM, and you're listening to Conscious Living Radio. Tonight's show is an interview with Ruth Mendelssohn, who is an engine behind a project to produce a CD entitled Well Wishes and Blessings, Kids in America to Iraq. And let's go back to our interview.
Yeah. In terms of the translation, when we spoke before, you said that the voices is what carry it, that they're speaking in English.
Yes.
So how does that work on CDs? That you have another voice reading what's said, or is it sent as a written piece explaining what the children are saying?
No, it's all audio.
It's all audio.
It's all audio, and there was a young woman from Iraq who was living in the States who volunteered to translate. And so I recorded her.
Uh-huh.
So the way that the way the CD is created, the way that the structure is that for everywhere other than the Middle East, because it's now being sent to several countries around the world, but yeah. Everywhere other than the Middle East, there are three English tracks. they're repeated by three more tracks, English with Arabic translation. And it's the full English phrase that the child is saying followed by the full Arabic translation. So they're not overlapped, in other words. And then the CDs that are being sent to Iraq and to other Middle Eastern countries, the Arabic tracks go first.
Okay.
And then she's
just reading what it is that the children are saying, or is she...
She's trying to inflect in a way how they're saying it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And then just really into the project, so...
Sure. Yeah. But then people will hear the voices themselves even if they don't understand the language.
Exactly.
And that's what carries a lot of them.
Exactly. Yes. Well, I mean, the love, because children's voices are like music.
Yeah.
You know, and the love and the purity and the innocence in those voices is actually just universal, you know, hearing any child's voice. And so it's definitely been able to carry the message and really have a positive effect. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds absolutely wonderful.
It's
incredible. I'm so glad that you've done this and you followed your heart.
Thank you.
And that you're sharing this with us.
Yeah, it's an honor.
Yeah.
It's an honor. And I just... one thing I want to add is that I personally was put through many, many, many tests in the process of creating this CD. Emotionally, financially, many, many things happened. And one part of it for me was there were many people who said that they were going to help financially who never, ever did. There were also many people who volunteered a lot of their time and talent to help with the CD production. I mean, thousands of dollars of like in-kind donations, volunteer. But it's still creating a CD like this. It's a good CD and the production value is outstanding. So, you know, these things aren't cheap at all. I personally, incrementally, bit by bit, I don't recommend anybody do this, by the way, but there's something really amazing that happened in the process of doing this that I really want to share with you guys, because if it just shows how goodness prevails no matter what things look like. So in the process of creating the CD, not only did I take... I took a year off, so I lost a year of income, which is always a nice, you know, cozy feeling. But I also, bit by bit, was taking out of my savings because people who had verbally committed just did not come through. And so by the time the project was done, it took me 8 months to create the CD. That in itself is a miracle. A CD of this nature, I've been told by other people who have done it, usually takes 5 years.
Mm.
So, or a production that's as elaborate as this, anyway. I honestly don't, I'm just quoting what somebody else had said to me. I didn't read that anywhere, but that this is what I've been told by colleagues anyway.
Yeah.
But it also required that I work 20 hours a day, literally nonstop.
Yeah.
It was a lot of work. But incrementally, so bit by bit by bit, by the time I was done, my savings were gone. I mean, my life savings, I've been very blessed. I've had a very successful, and continue to have a very successful career in scoring films. Everything that I had saved was gone. And I was freaked out. Like, what am I going to do at this period in my life? Not that I'm all that old, but, you know, you guys are probably all seeing me, you know, it's kind of rickety thing enough. You know.
Oh, she's in my, stunning.
In my rocker, you know. Yep. I'm 9 million years old, but it's like, you know, when you're an adult, you got to take care of yourself. And everything in my savings literally was gone, literally. And this was before the CD made it into Iraq. I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills. I mean, it was a very, very frightening time. And I got to one point, it was in February of 2007, and I had to... And, you know, honestly, many, many people in this world live this way. I have the privilege, honestly, of having a taste of it, but it has not been my whole life story. So this is a privilege problem. I mean, I have to acknowledge that, really. I mean, when there are people, I've been reading about people actually, like, making dirt cookies in certain countries now. I mean, just awful. So... Anyway, I had a very mild version of that, and that I had to choose between, am I going to pay my bills this month, or am I going to buy boots for the winter? I mean, I just, things were very, very, very sparse, and I was very anxious. A lot of people, there were other emotional challenges that were happening along with the financial. I was accused of being a spy for the Bush administration, which is like way too hilarious for anybody who actually knows me. But this was the kind of fear, the kind of woundedness that people were carrying around. And it just pointed to how necessary a project like this was, you know, for something to be so suspect. And it was suspect of many things by many people at the time. It just is like, this really is needed. Because the project itself, the process of making it, was just a magnet for people's fear. So anybody listening out there, just don't, if you have a good intention, and if you're hit with, you know, people just doing some mudslinging or, you know, whatever they, you know, fear, just recognize it for what it is. Don't worry about it. That's just the time we're in. You know, it's kind of on schedule, so it's not that big of a deal, really. But anyway, so there were lots of different opinions that were being slung my way and accusations and all of this kind of stuff. And the financial piece. And I, at that point, I still didn't know if this was even going to get to Iraq at all. And even well-intending people were saying, you know, this could escalate the war. I mean, I don't know how this is children expressing love, but, you know, it is the Kali Yuga, so why not say something like that? So anyway, there was just one night, I had to make a decision, bills or boots for the winter. So, okay, I chose to pay my bills. And it was a week after that I received my first email from a child in Iraq. And it was the biggest fulfillment to know that there was a child somewhere that was going through something so hard. And this child was actually feeling loved. I mean, everything to me, all of that stuff that I just very briefly alluded to, it didn't matter to me anymore. And in my heart, I truly came to a point of acceptance. Like, I don't recognize my life right now. I mean, this makes no sense, especially my financial situation, all that. I didn't care. I didn't care. I felt like I had done something useful with my heart and with the talent that I've been lent. Because I do feel like talent is kind of given to a person to use in the gift of their birth. And then it goes back. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's how I feel. And so I felt like, okay, I've done something good on this earth. Mm-hmm. So if it's been a sacrifice like that, I don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. And then a week later, like out of nowhere, I do score films for a living. I've scored several television productions. I get this royalty check, this enormous, with this cover letter that says, "We're very pleased to inform you that here are 13 years of retroactive back pay for royalties of television productions that you've scored." And it just honestly felt like the universe just saying, "See, do you see? When you use your gifts to be of service to others, you will never, ever, ever be left. You'll never be forsaken, ever. The universe would never do that. You will always, always be supported for using your talents in a way that's of service, for the upliftment of others."
It's a wonderful confirmation.
It was an incredible experience. It was a true demonstration to me. I'd never experienced a demonstration like that before.
No. So it sounds as if this has been an incredibly rich personal journey for you.
Huge.
Even though it wasn't what your intent was when you started, but...
Oh, no, not at all. Yeah. No, it was yes, absolutely. And it's definitely put me on a different trajectory now.
Yeah.
Higher and deeper, for sure.
It's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, in terms of anybody who would like to help you with this or to find out more about it, what's the best way for them to get information?
Well, the best way, I actually started a little nonprofit as a way to kind of house this project and many others that are now going to be coming up. There's some like really cool projects coming up. But it's an arts organization. The whole premise of this organization is just arts for the upliftment of society. And so there are two different websites that people can go to, and then you can just send me an email through the website. Mm-hmm. And the website for the CD is www.wellwishesandblessings.com. It's a really long title, but wellwishes.com was taken. So you know, had to make it work.
Yep.
Or Eagle Vision Inc. .org. The name of the nonprofit is Eagle Vision.
Eagle Vision.
Because that's the highest flying bird.
Yes.
Spiritual buoyancy. So yes. that's how we chose to give.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And we have those on our website. So anybody who's interested can just go to our website, consciousliving.org, and all of the contacts will be listed there to make contact with Ruth.
And I would love to hear from anyone who wants to be in touch.
Wonderful. Ruth, thank you very much. It's been a real blessing and a joy to talk to you. And thank you so much for doing what you're doing.
Thank you. And thank you for the privilege of having a chance to share this.
You're welcome.
You are tuned in to Conscious Living Radio. And we just played conversation between Judith Bradley and Ruth Mendelssohn. And now we're going to play another sample from a CD, Well Wishes and Blessings, Kids in America to Iraq. But this time, we'll play with translations in Arabic.
I'm Jamar, I'm 17 years old.
Ali Jamar, وعمري 17.
Hello, all the kids in Iraq. I want to say how much love I have for each and every one of you.
Hello, كل الأطفال العراق. بس ردت أقول شقد حب عندي لكل واحد منكم.
My name is Hyatt, I'm 15. I live in Mount Clemens, Michigan.
I just wanted everybody, like all the kids in Iraq, to know that we feel really bad about what's going on.
أريد كل واحد يعني كل أطفال العراق يعرفون إحنا مقهورين على إيش يصير بكم.
Hi, my name is Laura and I'm from Greensboro, North Carolina. I just want to say I'm sorry you're going through all this because it has to be horrible.
بس أريد أقول إنه أنا متأسف أنت فايتين في هذه الظروف الصعبة.
It's messed up that all those kids and adults over there have to be going through so much.
هو غير صحيح أن كل الأطفال والناس هناك فايتين في هذه الظروف.
To hear about stuff like this, it made me feel bad because these little kids didn't do nothing and they're losing their lives for nothing.
I'm Michaela, I'm 14 from Westport, Massachusetts. I just want to say I'm sorry for anything that has caused anyone who's listening to this pain.
Hi, my name is Gregory, and I'm 7. Do you know anything about peace?
Oh, wake up!
Fio, fio.
We're gonna start our day. I make my prayers to you. Oh, wake up!
رح يبلش نهارنا. رح صلي لكم. Fio.
Hi, my name is Omari. I'm here at Ingle Wings of Enlightenment Center in South Central Los Angeles. I'm 17 years old and I'm from Pasadena, California.
Do you all wake up?
Peace to me means treating everyone, you know, basically the golden rule where you treat everyone like you would want to be treated. If everyone went out and shared with everyone else and had compassion for everyone else, then there would be no reason to fight. I mean, why would you fight somebody who's treating you like you would treat them?
Early in the morning, Lord, early in the morning, I make my prayers.
بكره بكير رح صلي لك يا رب.
The war is not right outside my door. It's not down my street. It's not around my corner. I just wanted to basically say that I have strong admiration for your strength. I wrote a rap, thought you might like to hear it. It's touching on the topic of love because it's a shortage that's going around right now, so we need to boost its numbers. We live for one another, can't survive without each other. So why you hate your brother while love can help save others? We gotta learn to brace one another in our weaker times. Please listen, for we don't need more hatred in these bleaker times.
I think that love is what makes us human. We're all the same. It's like M&Ms. Like the outer color may be different, but inside we're all chocolate.
احنا كلنا نفس الشيء. هو مثل الشوكولات M&Ms. من برا كل الوان مختلفة. بس جوا كلنا chocolate.
The essence within us is the same, but due to the differences outside, they get in the way, and we tend to forget that we all come from the same source, which is love and light, and that we that's what makes us special as humans, that we are able to love, we have the capacity to love, and we shouldn't forget that like we do now.
What it means is truly amazing to conceive. Most cannot believe how the more you give away, the more you receive.
My name's Chris. I'm 18 years old, and I'm from Chesterfield Township, Michigan.
Hi, my name is Cliff. I'm 15 years old. Mount Clemens, Michigan.
To respect one another just means to listen to each other, to be able to have at least some kind of concern.
I want to see a world where everybody just comes together, everybody cool, no fighting, no nothing, no violence, no such thing as violence. Violence doesn't exist.
My name is Erin, and I'm from Cochise Pueblo, New Mexico. My grandparents are so talented, and my grandpa, he's a really good hunter, and he used to make drums. There's so much, like, they've been through, they've had a whole lifetime of experiences. It really makes me, like, appreciate my grandparents and everyone their age. Well, peace to me is just more working things out, like communicating with each other, and one talks, the other listens, and vice versa. Like, just listening to one another, like, hearing both sides of the story. Yeah, you have to, like, really listen to what the other people are saying, too.
Is there anything that you would like to say to the kids in Iraq?
I just, like, hope that they will know that even though they're at war with a country, like, not everybody in that country is a bad person. I'm wishing that the war never happened.
My name is Jamie, and I'm 15, and I live in Cochise Pueblo in New Mexico. If I were to say something to the kids in Iraq, you know, I just tell them, you know, follow your heart. Because, you know, it can never lead you in the wrong place because it's full of love. I remember when I was a young girl, I used to always go to my grandma's house because she was always, you know, taking care of me while my mom was working. And she's taught me how to make the Indian bread, and she's taught me, you know, how to make several foods. And the one thing I remember when I was young was she taught me a song. And I still remember that song from today, and I can always sing it. You know, I can still hear her singing it. Shana shana kuamina kya ayo kiwa kachute titaniko ahe ahe ya shana shana. It's like just basically meaning, you know, even though we're different Pueblos, it's just talking about what we have in common. You know, we're all native, we're all humans, you know, we all come from God, and just we're there for each other. It's like a we're here for you kind of song for other people around the world.
I know you wish you was a bird in the sky. Swallow the smoke and wipe your tears in the skies. Bombs drop like tears and rain in the sky. I hope the pain can change on the side.
Too many bombs are dropping. Little kids are hurting often. Where's relief when pain is throbbing? We got more war and less talking. We paying money for war and money for coffins. When the money should be used for a child that's starving. Wishing the tears dripping could smother the flame. Stop the war, cause I'm tired of seeing a mother's pain.
I pray for the war to be over. I know the war will be over. I pray for the war to be over.
Hi, my name is Jasmine. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm 16. We don't want to grow up in the next generation with the thing that we're going on with now.
Nobody wins in the end. No, everybody loses.
Well, I think love is just caring for people, not being selfish, just helping everybody.
Don't be like the world, be like yourself.
Hello, my name is Olivia, and I'm 8 years old, and I'm from Massachusetts. We shouldn't kill people, and we shouldn't stay away from people because they did bad things. Even if people do bad things in their life, it doesn't mean they're a bad person. They're still all good. All people are good.
When you think of compassion, you think about little kids. They know what it is to be kind to one another, and I think I would just tell adults that watch kids to see what they do.
Forgiveness is key, because when you forgive someone, you're forgiving them, but then you're also helping yourself.
People really need to, you know, forgive more and realize that everyone makes mistakes.
We are one humanity. We are one humanity.
Hi, I'm John, and I'm 16. Have love for your brother, even if they're from a different mother. One thing I'd like to see is the world living in peace.
Hi, my name is Rihanna, and I'm from Durham, North Carolina. About 100,000 years ago, there all the continents that we have today were all together into one big country, what they call now Pangaea. It makes me feel like all of us are brothers and sisters, and we shouldn't fight over our different color or anything.
We're all related.
We're all one species. We're all people.
Being different doesn't necessarily mean that anyone's wrong.
In the end, we're all the same. I think if there was just people loved each other more and cared for each other more and understood each other more and put themselves in their shoes, then I think this world would be a much better place to live in.
I think that we have to be more open.
Hi, I'm Marquisha. I'm 16 and I'm from Mount Clemens, Michigan. I'm dedicating this song to all the kids over in Iraq struggling with this war. People always use excuses like why they can't make new friends or whatever with people they know because, oh, my parents told me not to talk to strangers. That's not a good excuse. Compassion to me is just like that strong urge, that feeling you get to like make something right.
If there's love, then there definitely is hope because love can't survive without hope.
I think I do have the power to make things better, even as a youth. As long as I, just by speaking out, I think that can actually help.
Hey, my name is Elijah. I live in Raleigh, North Carolina. A lot of people in this world are not giving much love anymore. If you spread more love, then we can make a difference in the world and how it's running right now. It's not going to always be like this. We can make a difference in what we're saying and what our actions are.
Oh, the number one quality would be selfless love. And then I'd say patience. And after that, fearlessness.
Yeah, don't think just because you're a kid you can't make a difference. Don't give up on anything. Don't give up on anything. A lot of people can make a difference in how the world is running right now and how kid be.
My name is Caitlin. I'm 13 and I live in Rancho, New Mexico. I have faith that this war will end to where we can have peace.
I think life is like a light bulb. If everyone comes together, love one another, and make peace, the light will bright. It'll never stop. It'll never burn out. But if all the hatred and, you know, if you judge somebody instead of not getting to know them first, that makes the light bulb dim out and is just dark. But if we just continue to love and if we build a foundation of love, then the light will shine on forever.
In the utmost beauty.
I know sometimes it feels hard to have hope when there's like many things that you can't control going on and things that you wish you could be a part of and things you wish you could be away from. And I pray each night that every person in this world can be equal on some level. I believe that people should at least tolerate other people's like religious beliefs or opinions.
Hey, once again, it's Omari, and we are planning to sing for you, Wading Water. It's an old spiritual from the times of slavery. It's about keeping your spirits up and keeping your strength while you wait out. Basically, you wait out the storm or you wait out the rough times. And you push through, and eventually you'll come out fresh and new, and the old will be gone, and the time of despair will be over. So let's go.
Wade in the water, wade in the water, children.
You have been listening to Conscious Living Radio, a program that explores frontiers of consciousness, spirituality, personal growth, the emerging paradigms in psychology, health, science, and innovative philosophies that reflect a commitment to the advancement of individual, social, and global transformation. Tune in every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. to Co-op Radio, 102.7 FM. For information about our past and future programming and free downloads of shows, go to consciousliveringradio.org.
Stepped in the water was cold.
God's gonna trouble the water.
Chilled my body and not my soul.
God's gonna trouble the water. Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade. God's gonna trouble the water. Wait in the water. Wait in the water, children. Wait in the water. God's gonna trouble the water.
Yeah!